Hi, this is Ming Stoll, and you're listening to The Devil's Music with Pleasant Gaiman.
Pantheon Podcasts presents from Hollywood, California, The Devil's Music with Pleasant Gaiman. You are invited to join the Hollywood princess as she explores her lifelong pursuits in the occult, sex, love, and that sinful rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, step into the dark parlor of Pleasant Gaiman as she brings you The Devil's Music.
Hey there, this is Pleasant Gaiman, and you're listening to The Devil's Music, a Pantheon podcast. A little bit about me. I'm a punk rock witch from Hollywood, California. I've had a lifelong passion for rock and roll and the occult that started when I was a preteen. In the 70s, I was one of the first punks in LA, and as a teenager, I worked at the Whiskey A Go-Go, started producing shows, and made a Xerox fanzine called Lobotomy, which led me to write for every major rock publication you could think of. In the 80s and the 90s, I fronted three bands. I'm a best-selling author with 8 books out and more on the way. For the past 30 years, I've toured around the globe to teach and perform dance. You might have also seen me acting or dancing in music videos, feature films, and documentaries. Look for me in the new Go-Go's documentary. To find out more about me or to book a tarot reading, go to my website, pleasantgaiman.com. I'm really excited to be part of the Pantheon Podcasts network of rock and roll shows. Everyone here at Pantheon tells stories about the music we just adore so much, each and every one with a different twist. Find them all wherever you listen to podcasts, at Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Pandora, anywhere you get your favorite podcast fix. And head on over to pantheonpodcast.com to share a show with a friend. Or be damned to purgatory forever.
Hi, this is Pleasant Gaiman. Happy New Year and welcome to the first 2023 edition of The Devil's Music. My guest today is Chuck Holly, a magical human being who's known the world over for advocating love, kindness, compassion, and hope. His story is absolutely incredible, and it all stems directly from a moment of synchronicity. Chuck became accidentally famous one fateful day in October 2018 when he rescued a tiny kitten he wound up naming Sticky, a kitten who changed Chuck's life and the lives of countless others indelibly. I actually met Chuck through a moment of synchronicity too. He somehow found me and booked a tarot reading with me. And then we started talking during it, and the rest is history. When I found out his story, I had to have him on this show. So, hi, Chuck. I'm so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I don't even remember how I found you on there to do that. I don't remember how that actually happened, but that is what happened. I saw you, and I saw you had a you said you had an opening, and it was like in an hour. I'm like, I want to do this in an hour. So, yeah.
And that was your first reading? Was that your first
tarot reading? First time ever. Never. Wow. I didn't know anything about it at all. Yeah. I knew what it was, but I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know anything about it. And for whatever reason, I need to go do this. And then there you were. And then we started talking in there. And it's just like everything else that's happened since right before I found that cat. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, that was like one of the biggest moments of synchronicity I've ever heard about. And you guys are going to hear about this soon. But let's put it this way. If Chuck hadn't have happened to be right there in the right place at the right time, this story would have had a horrifying ending. So I'm just going to tell everyone a tiny little tad about you before you go into the story. But Chuck's had a really interesting life, but for a time period, he thought he didn't have a purpose in life.
Quite a long time period, yeah.
But that was like one of the most erroneous assumptions ever. But I mean, when I read your book, I could see how you might think that. But I mean, the amazing thing is so many people universally have that type of feeling. And then they go on to do like incredible, great, amazing things and have charmed lives unbelievably wild and wonderful things happening to them. And you are textbook of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's people who've much harder lives than me who've gone on to live, to do incredible things too. So yeah, I had a brief period of, or a long period of, I guess, just depression and thought, okay, my consequential time is over. And just basically, yeah, life was rough for a while until I ran into this kitten and all of a sudden, nope, you're not over, buddy. Keep going. So, yeah. And I do think you're right. I think a lot of people feel like that, you know, through different parts of their life and probably multiple times. So, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Should it play your part? You took your birth on the planet Earth to open up our hearts. Some folks help the oceans, others help the trees. Some folks help the birds and fish, and others help the bees. Some folks help the homeless ones or the people on the streets. Your small act of kindness served, help the cat with sticky feet.
So this kitten, a lot of you guys may already know about this, but somehow I was living under like a gigantic prehistoric sized rock, and I didn't know anything about this story until somehow in the middle of the tarot reading, we started talking. I think my cat jumped up on the table or was meowing. I think that might've been how it started, because I always have to give treats, like otherwise one of them will just like, you know, she can't let something else be the center of attention. But anyway, Chuck became world famous because of his cat that wasn't his cat at the time, who was called Sticky the Kitty. And I will let Chuck start that story because it's truly a miracle. It's miraculous.
Yeah. So I'll just start right before. So about a week before this happened, I was working at the Salvation Army, and I was director of facilities. I was running there, taking care of their buildings. And I had made a Facebook post. I just didn't feel like I was living up to my potential in the world, and just kind of just I felt I could do more with myself. And so my boss saw the Facebook post, and I get to work. My boss calls me in, or he calls me in my office and said, "Hey, I saw your Facebook post." And I'm like, "Oh." And he said, "Yeah, why don't you come in and talk to me?" I'm like, "Oh, man." So I go in there to talk to him. And he was pretty cool about it. And he said, "So if you could do anything in the world, what would you do?" And I'd been thinking about it for so long that I just immediately said, "I would give people hope." And he said, "Okay, how are you going to do that?" And I said, "I don't know. That's the problem right there. I don't know. How do you just give people hope as a job? I don't know how that works." And said, "Okay." And so the people that run the Salvation Army, if you're in the Salvation Army, you're a chaplain. It's kind of a Christian-based thing. And so he said, "Can I pray with you?" And I'm like, "Go for it. I'm not a super religious guy, but I'll take anything you can give me. So go for it." And so he prayed about it. And then I split. And like a week later, I'm driving down the road and heading to work. And I see a little spot up on the road. and cars are just kind of driving over it. So I didn't really think about it. And I'm looking at my radio back and forth, and I glance up at the road, and the truck in front of me went over it, and this little spot sits up, and it's a kitten. And you couldn't miss that it was a kitten. It just looked like a silhouette, perfect silhouette, like a kitten emoji. And I slam on my brakes, and it's just sitting there in front of me, and I'm kind of like trying to figure out why this kitten isn't running. And where I had just stopped the road had just turned to two lanes. And so the cars behind me had to slam on their brakes. They start to go around me. I don't want to see this kitten smash. So I throw my door open. I stop the traffic. Cars are mad at me. People are yelling at me. I jump out, run around to grab this kitten. And when I grab him, he's gooey. He's just covered in something. And I can't figure out what I'm looking at. As I go to pick him up, his back feet are still stuck to the ground. And I realize this is blue. And it looks like the old school rubber cement. He's just coated in this stuff. And so I end up peeling the glue off of the road, and instead of peeling the glue off, getting off of his feet, and I take him off to the side of the road. I know the cats. I end up taking him to work. End up at the vet, and when I'm at the vet, we're trying to figure out how this happened, and they find a kind of like a slit around his neck, but it was just a completely all the way around his neck, just a perfect circle around his neck. And that's kind of when we realized, okay, this, someone did this to him, because they figured the slit on his neck was a fishing wire. So someone had tied a fishing line around his neck, they thought, and either drug him or swung him. So this kitten's 5 weeks old at the time. So just a baby, tiny little kitten. And so now he's covered in glue and he has this cut on his neck. So they take him in to clean him up. And while they're in there, I'd taken a picture while at work with him. He climbed up on my shoulder. And I took a picture for my wife, made a Facebook post, and as I'm sitting in the vet, the vet tech comes in and says, "Hey, the Channel 12 News is on the phone for you." And I'm like, "What? Like, how are they on the? What? Why are they calling for me? And calling about the kitten?" And I'm like, "What? How do they know about the kitten?" And she said, "They saw your Facebook post." I'm like, "Well, how did they find me?" And she said, "They just called every vet in the area, and you happened to be here when they called." And so at first I told them, I don't know what I will tell them. You go talk to them. You know more about it than I do. And she came back about a minute later and said, "No, they really want to talk to you." So I do this. I meet them. I do this quick little news story and go on with life, and thought that was it. And we'd have a funny story about the kitten, how we found this kitten. And, this cat had a horrible start, but we'll give it a good life, that kind of thing. And it just blew up from there. It just that was a Friday. By Monday, I'm getting calls from Australian radio stations wanting to know about this kitten. The craziest thing ever. So that's how we get to this point. Poor little Sticky sitting on the road there. So that probably wasn't the best telling.
Your wife named him Sticky, right?
She did. We had two dogs when we found Sticky, and one of them was a Great Pyrenees, and he was about 11. It turned out he had cancer, and we spent a whole bunch of money trying to get him fixed, and it wasn't going to work. And so we just kind of brought him home to give him a good last couple of weeks and, give him all the love we could. And we're watching him and the little dog. We had a Chihuahua also. So the weirdest odd couple of dogs, and they'd grown up together. So my wife is looking at watching them sleep, and she said, "Do you think we should get another dog to keep the little one company?" And I said, "Yeah, probably." And I said, "But I think I want a cat too." And we were trying to figure out, well, where do we go to adopt a cat? And she said, "Don't cats find you?" And I guess cats do kind of find you. I don't think I've ever adopted a cat. Every cat I've ever had has found me. So so then I took that picture. The picture that went all around the world was Sticky sitting on my shoulder, and it looked like he was just looking at me with this pure admiration, but he was really falling asleep. And when I look at the picture, was a live picture, so when I look at it in the live mode, he's nodding off, he's almost falling off my shoulder. So I just I caught that picture at that moment, and so I sent that to her to tell her, "Hey, a cat found me." And I told her how I found it, and she was furious, of course. And then she said, "Okay, well, we'll name him Sticky." Like, okay, perfect. That'll work. So that's a good name for him. So yeah, she named him. She's the one that, came up with the cats find you thing. And yeah, just all just series after series of things that just, that wouldn't have happened if that last thing didn't happen. And if that last thing before that didn't happen. So like you said, very serendipitous. This whole, we're going on 5 years now. And it's just, I'm sitting here talking to you because of this cat. So it's, yeah, it's been quite an amazing thing for sure.
You know, I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to read your book. You guys, I told this to Chuck because just the first page I opened up to was the part where they were at the vets discovering the fishing line around the kitty's neck. And I didn't know a lot about this story. And I was like, I knew it was going to end well, but I thought I might have to start crying at a lot of points in the middle of it, which I did. And by the way, Chuck's book is called Cats Find You. Among other things. I mean, that's not part of it. I added that, like miracles, miracles find people and animals. But yeah, I'm so glad that Sticky wound up with you. And so anyhow, like, so the it went viral all over the entire world, but your book is full of so many incredible stories. That have to, of all sorts of people that you connected with because of this cat. So that's amazing in itself. And then your life before finding Sticky was pretty amazing too. I thought so. I mean, Chuck was like a teenage model in Asia.
In Japan, yeah, just stumbled into that. Yeah, and... yeah, stumbled into that right at the time where I was kind of losing my mind anyway. And I was, we lived on a Navy base and I had a pretty horrible chaplain stepfather and I just wanted to escape home, and modeling came along and that let me escape home for the year and a half I lived over there. So I went from, yeah, being a little fatherless kid in Texas to being a, I guess, nationally famous model in Japan for a couple of years in the 80s. And so as this book's come out, people have started sending me messages asking for pictures. And I have some of the modeling pictures, but we didn't have cell phones. Like, you know, you had to have a camera with you. And so I have the modeling pictures, but I don't really have the pictures of my life during that time. And so as I started responding to those messages, people from back then have started sending me pictures of my life then that other people took, that, you know, the family that I talk about in that book that really kind of took me under their wing, they've sent me a bunch of pictures. And so it's been kind of cool to have those pictures pop back up where I didn't even know they existed. So, it was very, very interesting time back then in the mid 80s, flying around Japan. And,
That just sounds wild. It's pretty hard for people to understand too, that even in the 80s or like the 90s when the cardboard disposable cameras came out, and those were, you know, quote, quote, cheap and disposable, but it still cost a lot of money to get them anything developed, you know, or not. Now it wouldn't seem like a lot of money, but then it did, you know.
Sure. Like, yeah. And effort, you had to take it in and then you had to go back and get it. And, you know, I was 16. And so it was hard to get to school, much less, you know, drop off a camera and pick up a camera. And so, yeah.
I still find some of those in my drawers sometimes, and some of them aren't even labeled. And I keep thinking I should bring them into a place and just play like crazy like disposable camera roulette, like, let's see what's on this roll. Will I get arrested? No, the statute of limitations is probably over by now.
Oh my gosh, you absolutely should do that. Yeah, I actually, in front of me, you can't see it, but in front of me I just typed your name into Google and I put images and all these pictures from your life that I'm like, oh my god, like some of the people you're hanging out with and just it's amazing. So when I think my little slice of year, you know, my little year of fame was something, yeah, looking at your life, this is, yeah, that is some cool stuff.
But my life, like Chuck is talking about, like a lot of my old rock and roll pictures, which I'm sure some of you guys at least have seen, but those were just my friends then. Do you know what I mean? No one was famous. And it's so funny because sometimes when I post like throwbacks on Instagram or something, like some people are like, oh my God, because they can realize that you could tell no one was famous by the way we were behaving in the photo. But then some other people are like, oh, cool, you met Belinda Carlisle once or something.
Or, you guys are kids. Like that. Yeah, you guys are kids in these. I'm looking at one right here with Billy Idol. Like, you guys are kids. Like, yeah. That is so cool. Yeah, I can see where people would think that. But yeah, that's just your life. Yeah, look at you. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not a normal life at this point. I've known that for decades, but it didn't seem that crazy to me for a long time, you know?
Sure.
But back to you. Well, actually, back first, we'll take one first little break right now because I'm babbling.
Okay, no worries. We'll take it. Okay. No worries.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
And here we are back. I'm with Chuck Holly, Sticky the Kitty's dad, and we're talking about all sorts of We've been talking about rock and roll. We've been talking about cats. We've been talking about miracles. So let's just continue on this non sequitur awesome train. So do you want to talk about anything pre-Sticky first, or should we talk about some of the things that I read in your book that I am interested in knowing more about, and so would our listeners be probably.
Yeah, let's talk about those things you want to know about. And maybe those will come back to
me. Well, you were just talking about how I meet or how I met a lot of wild people and mostly rock and roll people, but the people that you met in different countries and we're working with was crazy. Like, why don't you tell everyone about the orphanage, how that happened with,
that is, wow. Yeah. Those kids. So I also, before I wrote the Cats Find You book, I wrote a series of kids books, and they're basically self-help books for kids about not being afraid to ask for help or, understanding being sad and things like that. And I got a message from someone that wanted me to send them to an orphanage in Pakistan. So I sent those books to over there. And a few weeks later, I got a message back from the people that run the orphanage. And they were thanking me for the books. And they had there was a photo attached. And it was these little kids sitting in this, it was a concrete floor with these brick walls. And they're sitting there reading the books that I had sent. But there's no roof on this building. I thought it was a silo or something like that. I was trying to figure out what kind of building this was. And so I asked them, what is that? It turned out it was their school and they were in the process of building it, but they did everything on donations, so they didn't have the money to finish it. And so they didn't have a roof yet. And so I said, okay, well, how much is a roof? And they said, you know, it's like $4,000. Okay, well, that doesn't seem like a lot for a roof. And so I got sticky fans together and we started, you know, seeing, can we come up with this money? And so we ended up donating the money. The guy that runs the orphanage over there kind of coordinated a construction project, and they ended up getting this roof done, and we actually raised more money than they needed. So we, in addition to the roof, we ended up getting it wired and lights inside and fans and the whole deal, and turned it into a really cool, it's like the nicest building in this village that they do this orphanage in. And so as this is happening, I'm asking them, you know, about the kids, and you know, like where, you know, how, where do these kids come from and that kind of thing. And he said, they're street kids. And I'm like, oh, okay, so they're homeless. And he said, well, yeah, they're homeless, but they're street kids. They live in these little kind of gangs of kids. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, and so basically I saw one as young as like 3 or 4, cooking in this big wok, and it's just over a fire, and he's pouring oil and stirring it, and he's looking over at the camera. This little kid looked completely comfortable in doing this. It's just their life. And when you look at these kids, you can tell like these kids are, they're really dirty. They're like right off of the street. Like they are like, when you think of street urchins, like that's what these poor little kids look like. And so I'm saying, so where did their parents go? And said, well, some of them died, but some of them ended up selling themselves into slavery to pay off their family's debts. What are you talking about? Like, and he's like, no, that's a real thing. That happens over here. You know, your family owes a debt, and okay, I can pay this whole family's debt off. I will be your slave for the rest of my life. I'm leaving my kids. And so these kids are left to fend for themselves. And so the way it's set up in these little kind of communities is that, you know, the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old will take care of the 4-year-old, and the 6-year-old takes care of the 5-year-old, and they just watch out for each other. And it's just the craziest thing. And as I'm reading these messages, you know, I'm looking at my own kids who are, you know, just worried about whatever's happening in school or who said what or whatever. And these kids, like, they have nothing. They have, the clothes they have on their back are, someone gave them those clothes. Like they literally have nothing. And so to get a book and get a book from America, it's like someone handed these kids like the biggest dream they could ever have. And it's just, yeah, it's just heartbreaking watching these, you know, these little kids. But this couple, this is their whole life. That's all they do, is they take in these kids, and new kids show up every day, and some kids don't come back, and they don't know what happened to them. And it's just a rotating door of kids that need help. And that's all this couple does, is take care of these kids and take care of these villages. And during COVID, I saw the husband, it looked like an Indiana Jones movie. This guy's hanging off the back of a motorcycle with bags of medicine, going through, you know, dirt roads in Pakistan to get to people with no mask. It's just, this is what I do. I take care of these people. And if, you know, if I get sick, I get sick, and then I will keep going. So that was one of the more incredible groups of people that I got to meet. Just amazing people. Like, yeah, amazing people. And to actually get to talk to kids who, you know, send them a coloring book page, and it's just the biggest thing that they could ever dream of getting. It's amazing. Yeah. And that happened because of this kitten, from me finding this cat.
Yeah, that whole story was incredible. And then I forgot the little girl's name that was so influenced by Sticky, not from Bangladesh.
Ciela?
Ciela, yeah.
Ciela, yes. Ciela, yeah. And I actually, so for her, so Ciela is, she's 7 now, and her mom passed away just before Christmas, 2 Christmases ago, just complications from a surgery, and her mom was really young. That was also another one. Someone sent me a message and asked if I could write her a note in the books and send her some books. And as I got talking about this story, I kind of heard of her Ciela story. And again, Sticky Fans got together and gave her a good Christmas, or, you know, as good a Christmas as you can give, you know, kid in that situation. But we sent a doll. Did you get one of those dolls too? Did you get that doll?
Yes. Yes. Yes,
I need pictures of you with that doll. Yeah,
I will take a picture for sure.
Okay, cool. So we sent her the Sticky doll, And she latched onto this little doll and it kind of became her emotional support animal. And I didn't really catch on how much she loved this doll until I saw her. They sent me a picture of her waiting to go into surgery. She had cut her fingertips and they were going to go fix her fingertips, but she had the sticky doll with her. And I'm like, hey, what? She's got that doll going into surgery? And like, oh, she will not let that doll go. And so it turns out she has taken that doll to, you know, custody hearings with grandma and every therapist appointment. And so all these people in Ohio know this doll and know about Sticky Story because of this little girl. And so someone asked what she wanted for Christmas this year. And they said she wanted to meet me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's what this, you know, to be that person to a little girl who's gone through that stuff, just an incredible feeling. So I just did a Zoom call with her right before Christmas. Actually, it was on Christmas Day. And so I got to talk to her for an hour, but that's the first time I actually got to meet her. But super fun. Yeah, super fun meeting her. But yeah, Sticky has, helped that little girl through that. Belinda, that was another story. That was a pretty heavy story for me.
Belinda Land, that was an amazing story. Why don't you tell everyone about that?
We met Belinda. I won a award through the Humane Society here in Oregon. And Belinda paid for two seats at this award ceremony to make sure she could sit with us because she just loved Sticky's story so much. And so that's how we met her. And we hung out with her during the award ceremony, and she's a very sweet lady. And so when we left that day, we exchanged phone numbers and emails and kind of stayed in touch over the next year or so. And she would, any book I would put out, she would buy, and she was always donating to the foundation and just loved Sticky. And so when we got the dolls out, we sent her, she was one of the first people to get a doll. And she started the trend of people taking their dolls, traveling with them, and we have pictures of Sticky from those dolls from Egypt and Paris and China and all over the place where people have taken these dolls. So she started that. She was out cruising somewhere and had the doll. And so anyway, she, about a year later, she sent me a message and said that she was in the hospital and asked if I could come see her. And I knew her through email and that kind of thing, but I only met her that one day. And so it was kind of, I just thought, well, you know, you'd want family, but she asked me. So I came and hung out with her, and she ended up having cancer. And so we kept in touch over that, you know, over the next couple of weeks after she got out of the hospital. And I had planned on going up there again to see her. But she ended up, her health kind of took a turn, and, she ended up back in the hospital. And so when I had, I'm telling the story very horribly, I'm sorry. So she ended up back in the hospital, and, I asked her friend when I could go see her, and they said that they didn't think she was going to make it through the day. And she ended up passing away holding that Sticky doll. And that was the only thing she wanted to take to the hospital with her when she went back. And so, just very heavy. Yeah, that one's hard for me to tell that story without getting a little teary-eyed and choked up. But, you know, Sticky helped her through that. So he's been there for the end of lives. It's very, very heavy. I'm sorry I mumbled through that one. That was a hard one for me to tell out loud.
No, that's okay. If I would have known that, I wouldn't have made you tell it. But that was an incredible story. All of the stories in Chuck's book are really incredible. And it just really shows like how interconnected everyone is and how very universal love is. And I know that this doesn't sound like the usual insane debauchery that... it goes on this fucking podcast here. I just had to say that to break the ice. I had to swear.
This fucking podcast. There we go. Okay. There we go.
Really, I cried a whole bunch of times while reading the book, you know. I mean, even before I read it, I just opened up to that one page and started crying.
I hope they're good cries, though. I keep hearing they're,
no, they
they're
are good
cries. Yeah.
No, they are good cries. They're amazing.
So that's the one that I keep hearing about was page 61. And I keep hearing people are, and I thought page 61 was in the middle of Belinda Land's thing until I looked it up. And page 61, so right after this all happens, right after I find Sticky and this all blows up, I took a trip down to Sacramento from Oregon. And I'm sitting on my uncle's couch, and I had gotten so many messages from people. They're just beautiful messages from all over the world. And I'm scrolling through a message request, and there must have been, you know, 100,000 message requests, and I can't get to them all. So I just kind of randomly am opening messages. And one with no profile picture. And I, up to that point, I had not opened any with no profile picture because they didn't seem real to me. So this one with no profile picture, I just see the first few words, and it said, I have found humanity in you. And I had not seen that sentence yet. And so I clicked on that one. And as I'm reading through it, this guy is telling me how he was in the process of committing suicide. He's over in the UK. He looked up at his computer screen, saw that photo of Sticky sitting on my shoulder, and stopped whatever he was doing long enough to go read the story why this kitten was sitting on my shoulder. That story, whatever, whichever one he had found, gave, he said, gave him enough hope to stop. And so he decided to not kill himself. And so the message ends with, you'll never know what this has done for me, but you've saved my life. And blew my freaking mind, like just blew my mind as I'm reading this. So I'm thinking this is not a real person. And so I go to the profile, and you could see posts. You could tell this is a very depressed person, and they were from the UK. And I realized this is a real person. And so, you know, as you were talking about my early years where I didn't feel like I was had any purpose, that was the message that all of a sudden made me realize, oh shit, like, no, you have a purpose. Like, you've had a purpose this whole time. And I think what it was that if I wasn't any different, I was the same person I was a year before, you know, I would have always stopped for that cat. I would have always done that. It just this time happened to go worldwide. So if I would have, it was the same person then, and that event stopped this man from killing himself, then I always had that power. And I don't know, it was just the most empowering message to me. At the same time, I realized, okay, there's a dude out there who's just barely hanging on. So I messaged this guy back, and I'm telling him, you know, don't give up, brother. I'm sitting here right now reading these, you know, 100,000 messages of people. There's a lot of shitty people in the world, but for every one person that would have glued that cat to the road, you know, I have 100,000 people right here that would have stopped that. I mean, they would have kicked that guy's ass for gluing that cat to the road. So
yeah.
So don't focus on that shitty person. Focus on this 100,000 over here that would have stopped it. And so, you know, we're talking back and forth over the next few weeks, and we lost touch gradually, but the last few messages, you know, he was very hopeful. So that is the page. Yeah, as I keep hearing people are crying on page 61, all of a sudden, you know, after I'd seen four or five messages of that, that page kind of took a new meaning to me, where it was like, oh, these people know that feeling. They know, you know, this poor guy's feeling. That's the biggest takeaway from this whole thing for me, is that for all the differences that everybody has, and, you know, we're all different from everybody, the core of us is the same. We all want the same thing, no matter who I've talked to. If I've talked to people in Africa, or those little kids in Pakistan, or celebrities in Australia, everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. And, you know, when you take away all the bullshit, that's the core of everybody. Everybody, you know, everybody just wants happiness. And so that's kind of what this has turned into me. This mission has turned into, let's see if we can give some hope and makes people happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great. I mean, especially, you know, after the pandemic, the pandemic happened like two years or almost 2 years after you found Sticky. But I think a lot of people were losing hope and getting, well, we all know how crazy people went. We need to take a little break right now, but we will come right back with Chuck Hawley and this magical Sticky Kitty. Okay, we are back. We're talking about hope and love and all sorts of wondrously sappy, amazing things that defines the human condition.
Your listeners about this point are going, what the fuck is this guy? Who is this guy?
No, I instructed Chuck. I said maybe at some point I might talk to you about a concert or something, or some debaucherous experience. I don't know if it's gonna go that way, but if it doesn't, you know, I'm still a fucking lunatic in that area. I'm giving you guys hope that my podcast is not changing.
There you go. No, yes, it's just me. It's just me. Come back next week. She'll be the same crazy motherfucker she was. Don't worry about it.
But okay, I know how we can talk about something that I thought was like super super funny about the book. And this wasn't a long time, but like for a while, Chuck was just famous right after that. Everyone knew who Sticky was, but nobody knew who he was, but he didn't really care. But he was getting recognized everywhere for being the cat guy.
Everywhere. Everyone knew that cat's name. Well, I told you the other day, that cat got verified on, that cat can get the check mark. I can't get the check mark. Like,
wait, on Instagram, Sticky got verified?
Yeah, and on Facebook. But they won't do it for me. And I assure you, that cat has never made one damn post. I promise you, he's never done anything. It's me. It's not him. And they're like, yeah, we don't know who you are. Okay, man. Okay. We even got into a movie. It was called Hidden Orchard Mysteries. And it was kind of like a Nancy Drew kind of movie. And we played ourselves, basically, my wife and I. And we did a Zoom call. And Sticky was in it. And that was really the point, was to get Sticky, for them to have Sticky in this movie. And so Sticky in the credits is Sticky. I am Sticky's dad. That's what I am. I'm not even my name. It's Sticky's dad. Always with this cat. But yeah, it was everywhere. Everywhere I went, people knew. Yeah, they knew the cat guy. That's what I was. I was the cat guy. And they knew Sticky. But yeah, grocery stores, airplanes, even with the mask on when we were in the middle of COVID. It was in an airport in like Arizona, I think. And there was a lady sitting across from me, and there developed a look. I could tell the look after a while that, okay, you know who my cat is. It was just this like look, like I'm looking at, like, oh my gosh, like, you know my best friend. It's not I'm your best friend. It's like, you know my best friend. And so it's just a very cute look that people get. And so I see her look, her eyes, and she pulls her mask down and she said, I love your cat. And so thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'll tell him. I'll let him know. Yeah. So, but yeah, everywhere I went, it was a good few months, like everywhere we went. And it was just, yeah, parking lots, people would knock on the car window. They'd see me in, like, in the grocery store. They'd, hey, you're the cat guy. And I'd be like, yeah, yeah. And they'd look me up and down and like, well, where's your cat? And I'm in the grocery store. And so I ended up finally, you know, asking them, well, do you have cats? And like, yeah, I have two cats. Like, where's your cats? Like, well, they're at home. Right. Like, that's where my cat is. He's at home. Like, I don't take him to the grocery store with me. It's but they expected to see him with me everywhere. So yeah, they still.
Because he was stuck to you.
Yeah, stuck to me. Yeah. 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 And the funny thing is now people think I would love to cuddle with him. He's a jerk. He's the biggest. He has scratched all of us at some point really, but if, how mad can you get at him? He started off glued to a road. So, you know, it's just, he's not a cuddler. People want to think he's a cuddler, but he's not a cuddler. And it makes people sad to hear
he's
that.
He's like five now, or five-ish?
Yeah, five-ish, yeah. He's mellowing out. He's becoming more of a cuddler. But man, my son came out of his bedroom one night and looked like he was in a bar fight. Like, his shirt was ripped, his nose was bleeding. I'm like, what the hell happened? Sticky got me, man. What the hell? But he actually, we talked to Jackson Galaxy. You know Jackson Galaxy, the real cat guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He, so we did a Zoom meeting with him, and he actually came up with some thoughts about it. And it really comes back to that, to Sticky being strangled by that fishing wire. They think it cut the oxygen off, and so he's deaf. And then he also, it's mellowed out, but he had this thing where he would, as soon as it got dark, it was always at night, he would look over your head like he was looking at a ghost. It was just right over your head. And then he would try to attack that, whatever he saw, but there's nothing there. So he ends up attacking you. And so that happened for like a month. And we didn't know, we gave him his own bedroom in the house. Like, we, at night, we would put him in his own room. And like, brother, we can't trust you to not attack us at night.
Was this like right after you found him, or did this come a little bit later?
A little bit later, because when we found him, he was only 5 weeks old. He was pretty small. After he was about a year, maybe a year and a half, it started. And so what they ended up thinking happened was his oxygen got cut off. And so there's apparently a chemical reaction in a cat's brain when it turns from light to dark. And it's not just their eyes. There's an actual chemical thing that happens in their brain. And so they think it's not working right on him. And so he's seen, you know, when I said he sees ghosts, they're like, I think he sees ghosts. He sees double, like he sees, you know, mirages and, you know, things like that around you. And he doesn't understand it. So he tries to get it. And so you end up getting gotten. So he's mellowed out. He's getting much better. But yeah, for a while, I've come home before. We have four other animals. And I've come home and the four animals are on one side of the couch and he's on the other side of the couch just staring at him. And it's just, everybody knows, just leave him alone. He'll do his thing. And so, yeah.
Well, you know, in the olden days, they used to say that cats could see into other realms too. And I'm sure that's all.
Well, when I told Jackson, when I said, it's like he's seeing ghosts. And I said, I don't know that he's not seeing ghosts. I can't tell you he's not seeing ghosts. He might be seeing ghosts. And then he's the one that kind of backed me out of it. Well, no, I think it's this, but I don't know that that's not true. Like, I think I think you're right. I think they do. I think they have a little bit of magic in them. So
I know that my cats saw some ghosts in my house, and this was crazy. My house is like well over 100 years old and it's really haunted. And I do I do paranormal investigations and all sorts of crazy stuff like that. But so for a long time, this three of my cats would sit in a row in the living room, like looking into this hallway closet that, like, it's a hallway and there's a little closet at the end. But I've always sensed like a presence there, and like the air would be colder and
trippy.
You know, but so I saw them and they were all tracking it, like as though you were playing with the cat toy and their heads were all swinging in the same directions, but there was nothing there. And so as soon as like cell phones were coming out, I would take, like, I would start filming on a phone and you could see like very faintly, like this, like sort of swirling masses going on, like where they were staring. I've never noticed that before. And then one time they were, I was in the living room and they were doing the tracking thing. And I was like, oh, they're just looking at the ghosts. And then, you know, those big wooden coat hangers that one steals from hotels.
Yep. I know those. I have a few of those.
Yeah. The kind that you never buy.
Yep.
That nobody ever buys. Well, there was a bunch of stuff hung up on this little rack there, and like dresses and shirts and stuff of mine, but it was like sort of flush against the door. And then there was that wooden hanger that I had I don't know, there was like some kind of event, there had been a vintage coat on it like a couple of weeks before, but I put it somewhere else. And so the hanger was still just there, right? So I saw the cats tracking it, and all of a sudden I see the hanger jump off the rack, and it cracks in half with a deafening crack, and it flies into the living room floor, and the cats just scattered. And my immediate reaction was I screamed, "Hey, motherfucker." And I was like, "We know you're here. All of us know you're here. I'm sorry if we're intruding on your space. Like, you are totally welcome here. You were probably here for years before I was, but just for the love of God, just don't fucking scare my cats." And then after that, nothing ever happened.
Wow. Trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trippy. Yeah. You guys have a lot of history there and around you guys. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fully believe it. I fully believe they do. I mean, like I said, I wasn't sure he wasn't seeing ghosts. I don't know. I don't know what he's seeing. So yeah, we have three cats and,
me too right now.
Yeah. Three cats and four dogs. We just got another little puppy showed up over Christmas. So we have quite a farm going here, but yeah, I think cats are much more magical than dogs. I love dogs too.
I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah. I love dogs, but I don't, after hanging out with them so much, I'm like, I don't think you guys have the same powers that cats do.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, there was some dog gods in ancient Egypt, but they worshipped cats living. Like, you know.
See? Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. So, and the cats know it too. So
they totally know it.
Totally know it. That's, yeah, Sticky knows he's famous. He know, you can tell he knows. He's got an attitude where he's just, yeah, I do as I please. Okay, so. He knows he's famous. Yeah,
that's like the main cat attitude. But does he ever do that, the cat thing, like where they try to act like they're a starving orphan kitty, even though they just ate?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Where he'll run back to his food bowl like he hasn't been fed. And you go back and it's got food in it, but he just wants it. Like, no, I need it full. Like, you have food in it. Like, no, fill it up. And if you don't fill it up, he'll keep running around like, no, I'm starving. And oh, yeah. The weird thing is, right after we found him, we had a cat food company that wanted, we had a bunch of people all of a sudden jumping at us like, here, we want you to be the sponsor of this thing and this thing. But, you know, I didn't even know that the cat thing was a thing on the internet. Like, I didn't really pay attention that much to the internet. Like, I looked music stuff and my friends and I surfed, and that was all I looked at. So I didn't know what a deal the cat thing was on the internet. So when this happened, some people came out thinking like we were like almost like we made this up. Like it was like, oh, you want to get in on the cat thing? I'm like, I don't know what cat thing you're talking about. And then, you know, oh, you want to be the cat guy? I'm like, brother, that's the last thing I'm trying to be out here is the cat guy. Like, I don't know what that is. And so all of a sudden we have all these people wanting us to be sponsors for things. And that was kind of overwhelming because we're like, you know, okay. So one of them was a cat food. And so we said, well, send us the cat food. So because, you know, I didn't plan on any of this, I wasn't going to do anything that I didn't feel good about. So if I need to know that my cat likes your food. And so they send us the food. They even made packaging with Sticky on it so we could see what it was going to look like. And they sent it all out and he didn't like it. And so I'm like, he won't eat a bite of it. I can't say my cat loves your food. I don't care how much you're paying us. I can't say my cat loves your food. He doesn't love your food. I can't say it. So we shut it down. Like, no, we're not doing that. Well, when the next cat came, that cat loved that food. And then the next cat loved that food. And then it turned out Sticky just loves one particular type of food. And that's it. He won't eat anything. He won't eat tuna. He won't eat anything else. And so we shut these people down. But it wasn't their food. It was our cat being too picky.
Yeah. That,
like, yeah. And so we didn't end up doing that one. But yeah, that was a trip. That was weird that, like I said, I didn't know. I didn't expect any of this, you know, so I didn't. I was playing catch up the whole time trying to figure out, all right, what is this crazy internet cat world? And you know, why are these people so interested in this cat? And it was just, yeah, trying to catch up with everything. I always felt like I was behind my own story. Like I was 2 days behind what was happening in my own life. Like, wait, what happened? And so, yeah, it went on like that for a while. But that's one of the things that the reason I was able to talk to so many people around the world is so many people find common ground in cats, no matter where you're from. So, and at that time, you know, America at least was very politically divided. You had your super right side and your super left side. And I talked to people from both sides and they both loved this cat. But I kind of fucked up there because I decided I'll take anybody that friend requests me. I'll just let you, anybody on my thing. And so
did they start crawling on your page and sticky?
Oh my gosh. Pretty quick. So that Facebook would only let me have 5,000 people. So pretty quick, it went up to 5,000 people. But then all I had was 5,000 people fighting on my page about politics. And she's like, oh fuck, what did I do?
Cats, so, right?
Yeah, people will fight about the cats. We posted a picture the other day. I posted just on my own Facebook. We had to take one of our cats into the vet. She's an indoor-outdoor cat. She gets in fights outside. She got a jab on her shoulder. We had to go take her in. I posted a picture. So many people will jump on you about letting your cat outside. They will just, oh my gosh, hundreds of people just furious that we let the cats outside.
But well, it should be a personal choice, but also it depends where you are, who you are, you know, like yeah, I won't let my cats outside. And this is the first bunch that I've had, and this has been going on for years that I didn't, but I'll just tell you and anyone that's listening, this is not another grab for cat fame, but if you follow me on Instagram and other places, you'll know that this really happened. One of the reasons that I don't let my cats outside is because I live in the Hollywood Hills and there's coyotes and stuff. But oh, yeah. I heard a noise one night in September, and P-22, the mountain lion, was in my yard.
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. Holy shit. Okay.
On a Friday night. And then I realized it was a Friday night. And so the next morning I was just like, I win Catterjee.
I did see that post. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah. No, that's definitely. So we live in the middle of a small town, but we're right in the middle of it. And, you know, this little cat doesn't really leave the yard usually. But like Sticky, we won't let him out because he's deaf. And so he'll just be defenseless. So he doesn't get to go outside.
Yeah.
But this other cat, you know, when we got her, she had her ears snipped already. So she was feral.
Yeah,
when we adopted her. So it seems like, you know, we would be taking away part of her spirit she wants to go outside so bad. So, all right. And we let her out. Well, she doesn't go too far. But people will get very upset with you for letting your cat out. And they don't mind telling you when you're cat famous. They will tell you all about what you're doing wrong to your cat. Breakaway collars. That was another one we went for. Well, we had a collar with a bell on it, and people were livid that we had this bell on Sticky's collar, and they wouldn't read back far enough to realize he was deaf. But people were very upset about the bell. Yeah, just I'd always just had cats. I never had 100,000 people telling me what to do with my cat. So another quick learning curve when you're like, okay, sorry everybody, we'll fix that. Thought I just had a cat. Okay, no, not just a cat. All right. So
sometimes people are crazy sometimes. I don't know. I mean, just like I don't understand all the brawling on all the pages, you know. I just go away from that.
Yeah, I do too now. I screwed up back there where I would try to stop it. I would try to listen, you guy from Kentucky, like you need to talk to this guy from San Francisco. You guys are gonna be friends over this cat. And oh man, yeah, no, I realized pretty quickly, like, no, some people don't want to talk to each other. Okay, that's cool. Then you're not each other's people. That's okay. Like, but I still think you need to know that you do have things in common that you could come together over if you wanted to. Just some people don't want to. So I learned that pretty quick. Just step back from the Facebook fights and Yeah, don't put your energy into it.
Yeah, Instagram usually seems like a friendlier place to me.
It is. And I wasn't planning on any of this happen. If I would have known that what this was going to turn into when it all happened, I would have jumped on Instagram right away with it all. But we were on Facebook and I was just living my life, and all of a sudden that's where it blew up. So it is weird, because it's all of a sudden, you know, you're divided into these, you're Facebook famous, you're Instagram famous, you're TikTok famous, these people know you, but these people don't know you.
But and you're cat weird, famous.
Cat famous, yeah. So now the cat people know you, and so that's a weird thing in the world we live in now. All these different, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you were Sally Field and Burt Reynolds. That's how you were that famous. Like, that's how you were famous. No. Just go lip sync, find a cat, whatever. You'll be famous. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think we are about at the end of our time here.
Okay.
Is there anything do you want to tell anyone what kind of music you like, or do you want to tell them what the fuck to do with their cats? Or, no, I'm just kidding.
No, don't listen. Do whatever you want to do with your cat. Just take care of your cat. That's it.
No, just don't glue it to the road.
Yeah, don't glue it to a road. Make sure it's safe.
This time a lynch mob will come for you.
Yes. They never did find that person, as far as I know. You know, not for that crime anyway. There was a camera right there, and so we did call the cops, and we had the cops come look, but they couldn't see it, anything on the camera. So,
I don't normally do this, but I hope that person just went to hell really quickly and really painfully right after that.
I can't imagine good things happen to them. I can't imagine. Yeah. They asked me when I. Yeah, that was one of the creepier things. They asked me when the cop was there. There's a stand of trees off to the side, and he said, "Did you see anyone standing there?" I'm like, "Dude, I didn't see. I just looking at this cat. I wouldn't have seen you." And he said, "Yeah, they were probably standing behind those trees watching, because they want to see what happens to." Oh shit! Like, yeah. So that made it even another level of creepy, that the guy might have been standing there while I'm trying to figure out what's happening. So that was the only thing they could come together on, that it was probably a 13 to 30 year old white male is what they could come up with.
Yeah.
Okay, that is very vague, but yes, probably. So yeah. And we'll end the show with that.
I put a spell on you. I'm sending that out to the motherfucker who did that. Anyway, well, Chuck, it has been amazing to have you on. You guys, Chuck is an incredible person. He has an incredible cat who started a whole movement, who's actually really crotchety, but he can be that. Sticky can do that.
He can be whatever he wants to be. He's doing a lot of good stuff. So whatever, man, be you.
It was fantastic to talk to you, Chuck.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. And yeah, give her another chance next week. She'll come back and be just as fucking crazy as she is normally.
Yeah, I will. I'm going back to crazy. Anyway, you guys, thank you for listening. And thank you for coming on here, Chuck. And I will be talking at you next time with tales that have a touch more sin and degradation in them. Goodbye.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you, yes, I do. You and your pussycat knows. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat?
Whoa. The Devil's Music is written and hosted by Pleasant Gaiman. Produced by Aaron Alden. All sound design by Jerry Danielson of Busy Signal Studios. And of course, is part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at pantheonpodcasts.com. Our social presence is at Pantheon Podcasts on Facebook and Instagram. Tweet us at Pantheon Pods. All songs can be found wherever you get great music. Please pick up these important and fantastic tracks. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.